FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. The date is April 11th, 2016. Much trouble in the world. We've got elections going on in the U.S. that defy credulity. We've got markets that are in a place we never expected them to be. And we've got governments all over the place, rising, falling, and basically making the situation worse. Who better to speak to it about than Doug Casey of CaseyResearch.com and a well-known author and guest to the show. So, Doug, welcome back. It's great to have you on.
Well, it's a pleasure, Carrie. We've got a pretty clear connection, even though I'm speaking to you at the moment from South Africa.
Yeah, surprisingly good. And hey, that just shows it's becoming a smaller world when you can be literally 7,000-8,000 miles away from where I am. And it sounds like you're right next door. Whereas when I make a phone call to somebody here in Florida, it could sound like they're in a third world country. So go figure.
Yeah, that's right.
So, first and foremost, the recent interview with Louis James, your organization, you expressed the belief that resource sector stocks have pretty much bottomed. And I'm talking about precious metals, things like that. Anything happened since then to make you believe contrary?
No. I think that we've embarked upon a new and very big gold and perhaps a resource in general bull market. You've got to remember, and I'm sure you do, that gold and the rest of the resources peaked in 2011.
Oh, yeah.
And that's already 5 years ago. So it's been a long and very brutal bear market. And resource stocks now are about as cheap in real terms as they've ever before been in history. And since it's the most volatile area of the stock market, I expect that over the next few years, we'll see explosive gains before they once again crash 90-95%.
Yeah, well, we've seen that over and over again, yet you as the little investor, the individual investor out there, like me, slow to learn the lessons of these cycles. Why is it, Doug, that only the big guys, I guess, who to some extent create the cycles or certainly influence them, they're able to profit, but the smaller investor finds it so difficult to prosper in cashing in on these cycles?
Well, the worst enemy the average investor has, other than the U.S. government, of course, which is the enemy of any right-thinking person, his worst enemy is his own psychology. He tends to only buy after something has established a good track record. But investments aren't like people. An investment that has established a good track record has already gone up too high. It's time to get rid of it, not to buy it. And they do just the opposite at the bottom. So I'll go on record as saying that right now, resource stocks are at the bottom. People are afraid to buy them. Still, this is the time to buy them for potentially very large returns, I think.
So you've said it numerous times before. You got to think like a contrarian, think like a thief in the positive sense of the word to get yourself in the right mental state to actually take care of an opportunity. I remember years ago, this must have been 15, 20 years when I first saw it, an index called the Dogs of the Dow, and it outperformed the Dow itself for decades going back. And that was simply buying the stocks that were doing the worst in the Dow that weren't bankrupt, or maybe they were even bankrupt, and holding on to them till they doubled or tripled or whatever they were going to do. And somehow I never hear about the Dogs of the Dow anymore. Maybe all the dogs have left the pound.
Yeah, maybe you don't hear about the Dogs of the Dow anymore because the whole Dow, everything, the stock market as a whole is approaching bubble territory. And I would urge your readers to get out of stocks post haste. They're in a near bubble, and bonds are in a super bubble because of the Fed artificially lowering interest rates So no, it's a bubble economy. We're looking at a catastrophic disaster. We're looking at a disaster of world historic proportions when the economy bites the dust this next time around. Because, Carrie, the analogy that I used is that in 2007, we entered the leading edge of a gigantic economic hurricane, and the government's papered it over from 2010 to the present by creating trillions of new currency units. And not just the U.S. government, but the Chinese, the Europeans, the Japanese. Now we're going into the trailing edge of that hurricane, and it's going to last much longer, it's going to be much different, and it's going to be much worse than what you might remember from 2008 and 2009.
I remember it vividly. That's when I changed my career and decided I wanted to join the media rather than what I was doing practicing law. So are we heading for another dark ages? Because when empires collapse, which arguably is happening now to the U.S. and the Anglo-American empire, when empires collapse, you tend to have a void afterwards, and you tend to have often a retracement of advances that took place during the course of that empire. We could look at Rome. We can look at every empire that ever existed to see this transition period, whether it's a real Dark Ages or whether it's a Dark Ages through the rearview mirror of history. I'm not sure, but I know you've thought a lot about this.
Yeah, I actually have. And the problem is the huge amount of debt in the world, $20 trillion officially in the U.S., but it's really, when you look at commitments and future obligations, things of this type, it's really more like $220 trillion. And this is the same in many other countries around the world. This means the whole world's been living above its means. And whether you default on the debt, it means that a lot of people that thought they had assets, those assets are going to disappear. Or if it's inflated out of existence, the same thing. This is a massive destruction of capital. Now, in order for civilization, to speak to what you just said, to advance, you need capital. That's what separates us from a primitive country, is we have capital. But this is going to destroy capital. So the good news is that there are more scientists and engineers alive today than have lived in all of previous history put together. And this is fantastic. It's a mainspring of human progress. But the bad news is that they need increasing amounts of capital. And if this capital is destroyed in the coming Greater Depression, anything could happen. And of course, these idiots in governments around the world have their fingers on the nuclear trigger. And since most of the people that rise to the top in government are sociopaths, they're actually criminal personalities. These are the worst people to have their fingers on the nuclear trigger. And almost anybody can have a nuclear bomb today. So, yeah, there's a lot of danger in the world today.
And, yeah, so it's a frequent theme of yours and mine as well and many others, is that somehow power, the aphrodisiac of power combined with the lawlessness of government, brings out these sociopaths like moths to a light. It's a phenomena that keeps happening throughout history, and humanity has not learned how to deal with these sociopaths and how to put them in their place wherever it might be.
Well, I'll tell you one place that they shouldn't be, and that is in the government, where they have their hands on everybody's throat, in effect. And the terrible thing is that sociopaths, criminal personalities, are naturally drawn to government. Because there are two types of people in the world. People that like to control physical reality, things, that's fine. And people that like to control other people. And that's the type that are just drawn to government. So this is one reason why I don't believe in government as an institution. I don't want to try to get good people in government. You can't get good people in government. If you get good people in government, they're going to be corrupted or they're going to meet with unfortunate accidents. You have to kill the beast itself. And I don't think personally that government is necessary. I think it's an anachronism.
And it's more dangerous than ever. I mean, I can't foresee the absence of all government. I just can't see that. But it's like any other organism. Government first and foremost responsibility is to assure its survival at whatever costs.
That's right. That is the prime directive of any living being or creature or entity, is to ensure its own survival. But government, since it has a monopoly on force within its bailiwick, inevitably grows like a cancer. So that's why I don't believe in the institution itself. And I would further argue that anything that government does could be and would be done better and cheaper in all ways by the free market. So I don't think government serves a useful purpose. Insofar as they are pure coercion, which they are, at most they should be used to protect their citizens from coercion. That implies an army from coercion without the country, a police coercion within the country, and a court system to adjudicate disputes without resorting to coercion. But they do everything but that, and they don't do those three essential things at all well. So, no, I don't believe in the entity of government.
Well,
I believe in society. I believe in civil society, which is a very different thing.
Hey, well, I'm fully on board with you that government, the less functions it has, the better. You put it in charge of schools, you're going to have illiterate people. You put it in charge of water, you're going to have water shortages. If you put it in charge of oxygen, of breathing air, you would have air shortages. I mean, that's just government. Milton Friedman said every law, you know, just invert the title, the opposite. And he said the only one that was really effective was unemployment insurance, which ensured that we would have unemployment. But all of these programs, right, are just basically achieving the opposite of their intended goals. Look at so-called Obamacare, and it's had a negative effect on the number of people insured and the ability of people of doctors, hospitals, et cetera, to provide health care.
Well, you know, government is getting out of control, not just in the United States, but all over the world. And these governments are colluding with each other to help control each other's citizens. They're working together towards this. But, you know, at this point, all of these governments are bankrupt. So I think we're looking at an explosion of world historic proportions over the next decade or so.
Yeah, well, that wounded animal, that injured animal, is at its most dangerous at that point because it can do anything potentially. And I see the government as really being wounded here in so many countries. Doug, you look, and the government, it's failing in its basic functions. It's really just not able to do the most basic things, like in the U.S. here, actually carrying out an orderly democratic vote seems to be a more and more difficult skill that these counties and states are unable to do.
Yeah, it's really going to end very badly. And of course, this is one of the reasons why I like to spend a lot of my time, most of my time actually, outside the U.S., and I specialize in countries that have already hit the bottom so that hopefully the next stage is going to be up for them. This is why I live in Argentina almost half of the year, quite frankly. The Argentines, after having gone downhill since Perón for 60 years, I think they finally turned the corner. The new president, to start with, has fired 100,000 government employees. That's a good step.
That's a great start. That's like 1,000 lawyers lost at sea at on a professional education cruise. It's a great start, right?
That's right. And of course, many of those government employees, at least in the U.S., tend to be lawyers.
Yeah,
all the people in Congress certainly.
Absolutely.
So, who do you think is going to win the election, Kerry?
I wish I knew, but I still think we're at that stage where anything can happen here, Doug. I think Hillary Clinton could be knocked out of this thing really quickly. Whether Sanders wins or loses, all of her legal problems seem to be escalating, and I don't know. I just don't see it being swept under the rug. I think they're going to do their best to deprive Trump of the nomination, rightly or wrongly. And that's going to lead to real instability. So I just don't know what's going to happen here. Doug, I don't know. You have an opinion on it? What do you see?
Yes, I do. I think that Trump is going to even though they're trying to keep him out at all costs. I think he's going to get the Republican nomination, and I think he'll win the election because the average guy is completely fed up, and he's the only person that's not a professional politician. He exudes certainty. That's what people are going to want as the economy collapses towards November. Now, I'm not a supporter of Trump because he's got a lot of stupid ideas.
Oh, yeah.
And he's no libertarian. He's an authoritarian. But I'll put my money on Trump.
Yeah, well, it just reminds me of that saying by Will Rogers when they were talking about bad economy. He said, ignorance got us into this mess and ignorance will get us out. And that's, you know, I know Trump, fun guy to hang out with and, you know, shoot the breeze, whatever. He doesn't drink, so you can't have a glass of wine or a beer with him. But a funny, smart guy. But this is problems in the U.S. and the world at large are far bigger than any one person or that we, the liberals, love. Oh, if only we had the right people in place, then things would be fine. Well, Obama was the right person. All of his people were finally the right people. You know, they were the ones that we were waiting for, right? And look what we got here. So, you know, government, not the answer, getting the government out. And that reminds me of FDR. He's the godlike mythological character of the progressives. And the fact of the matter is, everyone thinks, well, World War II ended the Great Depression. Point of fact, when you study it, the Depression didn't end until the mid-50s when the Republican Congress repealed all the alphabet agencies, and they didn't go far enough, unfortunately, but they repealed a large portion of his programs, unleashing the economy to begin it. A great rally, which even still was not as great as the growth pre-FDR. So just the ignorance of history, of economics. I don't know how you get past that, Doug.
Well, you're absolutely right. And FDR was actually only the second worst president that we've ever had, Lincoln being the worst.
Yeah.
He's the one that has been elevated to the status of a demigod. So what are you going to do?
And we don't forget... Wilson. I mean, Wilson was up there, too. So,
sure. It was on his watch that they created the Federal Reserve, the income tax, and started World War One. So,
Prohibition.
He's in a very low circle of hell, too, I hope.
Prohibition, too. Probably the worst thing that he did. But you needed the income tax because Prohibition destroyed the government's main mechanism for financing itself, which was the excise tax on alcohol. So all those things for sure. So you're hopeful about the future? You think we're just going to go through some horrible times and then find our way again? Because this isn't Rome. I mean, from the standpoint of knowledge, of access to knowledge, and of a core group of people understanding what they're doing here and what's going on. We're not Rome in that sense, for certain. But in terms of anybody able to stop it and change the outcome, you know, we very well could be.
Well, as long as one of these idiots doesn't start World War III, things will get better. And mankind's ultimate destination is in the stars, not groveling in the mud here on this insignificant little planet. So, yes, I'm very optimistic for the long-term future, but we're going to go through it with some very ugly times over the next few years.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you. Your term, I believe you're the first one to coin it, it's called the Greater Depression. And I believe, Doug, when look back from the vantage point of history in 50 years, that will be the name that it's given. I mean, look, from 1873, I think it was, to 1893, that was considered the Great Depression prior to the Great Depression of the 30s. So I think you're right. Tough times ahead. As long as we can survive, though, I'm inclined to agree with you that we are going to move forward. And on that note, Doug, really appreciate you coming on. It's always great to talk to you. And make sure you go over to caseyresearch.com. Check out Doug's writing along with everyone else's there. A lot of it's free and invaluable. Doug, hopefully I will be seeing you in Freedom Fest this summer.
You will, Kerry. Thanks, and have a good one.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.